Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Against all odds, I have managed to somehow pull myself up by my chair straps and find my way back into an upright and locked position. We're ready for takeoff here. Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, kind enough to be hanging out with us in for Jhené today. You can catch Trevor as a part of Sports Nation each and every night on ESPN. Plus, like Trev, I feel like you of all people, because anyone who doesn't know, Sports Nation, you guys are in the building late, working. Yeah. You guys are checking out what happens at the end of all these games. Like, if any group of people should be allowed to basically do their job from bed, it's you guys.
Listen, I would love the idea of it, but I'd be a lot less like into it, frankly, because your boy, when I lay down, it's out. Like, I have no trouble falling asleep on a regular basis. I don't understand the concept of like laying in bed awake, because it hit the pillow and your boy's out. Like, no. Nope.
Well, especially, like, I got to imagine with your current schedule, like, this was a lie that my father told for years in our home. Because Dad was getting up at 4:20 almost every day a.m. to get ready to do the morning radio show. And yet, without fail, he would get home every night as we would look at him, almost like falling asleep in the chair trying to stay up and watch games with us. He would always look to my mom at some point and say, "I don't know how I'm going to be able to fall asleep tonight." Like, dude, we just watched you just almost fall asleep right there. You wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're going to fall asleep very easily like he always did. So I appreciate you at least being honest about it, Trev.
Oh, yeah, I'm here to keep it a band. There ain't no question. Now, it's a little bit later than most people, but that's besides the fact. Because once I know it's time for bed, it is time for bed, baby.
The body is ready, yes. And it is willing, yes, at that point. Now, Trev, I'm going to need you to also keep it a band with us right now as we look at what always happens. By the way, I just tried to say it. I don't think I'm cool enough to say keep it a band.
No, see, here's the thing about saying sayings like this, because I done coached up a couple folks on here, on campus, around here about it. Just say it and don't acknowledge
what do they
it.
Look
we
like?
Will determine on the back end. That's a great question. I am not at liberty to say. we just going to leave that one in the past, just like you should have done with keep it a band. Like, you just say it with confidence, and we will assess on the back end when it's a private conversation.
You know what? That's a great teammate right there. Because you know what? Publicly, we will present a united front.
Yes.
When we get you behind closed doors, I'm going to tell you don't say that in front of people around me ever again. Jhené and Golic Jr., we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're going to talk to Lewis Riddick in a little bit, our ESPN NFL front office insider. We're also going to have to debate something that I did not realize or wake up this morning intending to, but when Dan Orlovsky tweets his food takes, I am one to listen. And pancakes and waffles have come into the focus today. And so we're going to do the job that the people need us to do. But in the meantime, Trev, we had the NFL schedule release come out fully and truly. We got to look at what's going to go on for all the teams this year in a 17-game schedule. And we get to look at Kansas City and Tampa Bay. Now, looking at the schedule, I believe these two teams are going to link up. Kansas City and Tampa Bay are not in the regular season.
Not in regular,
excuse me. But you've got a number of matchups between those two teams. You've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've got right now, according to our great folks here at ESPN doing the research, the league's easiest projected schedule based on the 2021 roster evaluation. They face the NFC and AFC East as divisions. We know for the Kansas City Chiefs, they're on the other side, a part of some of the biggest matchups in the NFL. Week 2 at the Ravens, week 1 against the Browns. They have a matchup later in the year with the Buffalo Bills in week 5. So, Trev, the Chiefs and the Buccaneers met in the Super Bowl last year. We know how hard it is to repeat in this league, and so which team do you think has a better chance of making it back to that point, Tampa Bay or Kansas City, based on what we just laid out there?
Dog, you should have gave out spoiler alert before you like gave the little stat about the SIG people, right? Like, letting us know that, yeah, Tampa's got the easiest schedule. You mentioned NFC East and AFC East, and then you play in the NFC South. So, yeah, like, they have the easiest projected road back to the Super Bowl, at least relative to Kansas City, because not only are they equipped schedule-wise, but all 22 returning, like the camera angle, dog. Like, it's ridiculous just how well-equipped they are to sort of make this run once again, given how much we can assume about just their team. And I understand the parity in the NFL is unique and really does cycle on a season-by-season basis, but, like, if you tell me right now that the Buccaneers, that was a Freudian slip if I've ever heard one, I guess, but if the Buccaneers were going to run the table once again, I wouldn't be able to tell you no.
And we saw a number of our experts pick Tampa Bay to at least get back there. When you look at the NFC, you're right. Losing some of the marquee names like Drew Brees in that division that were looked at as a road stop, not being really sure what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers going on with the Green Bay Packers, what that situation is going to look like, the team they faced in the NFC title last year. Like, the schedule makers didn't think they were slick, right? Going Denver and the Giants in that nice week one matchup, putting that at a spot where everyone's going to see it, knowing full good and damn well that Aaron Rodgers and the Denver Broncos have been linked in a number of ways. Right. Like, Trev, they decided to pass that one off like messy. We weren't all going to notice that messy. They thought they knew something.
Just so messy. And I'm here for the messy, frankly. Like, I would love to see look, if we can get something popped off there where we could just have another conversation about how disgruntled Aaron Rodgers is and how it's actually come to fruition that he has some leverage, why not?
It sounds great. And those are all the things that I think make the NFC side volatile enough to look and say, yeah, you got all that continuity returning. We were so worried about it meshing in year one for the Bucs. It looked good. But Trev, I want to go to the other side because we basically, the hockey line change that happened for the Chiefs on the offensive line was apparent in the Super Bowl and has been their offseason project since then. And it has led. We had six experts on ESPN.com, writers, members of our analytics department, analysts, predict who they thought was going to be in the Super Bowl matchup. We had two people out of six put the Browns into the Super Bowl out of the AFC, Trevin. We just had the conversation yesterday about, are the Browns silly for not going after Aaron Rodgers, for saying Baker Mayfield's their guy? But there's a lot of people that think they're good enough. Trevor, you in that camp? Are you buying in to what Cleveland's selling everybody
now? I can't go Super Bowl with it, man. You made me uncomfortable when you said that. I was like, there ain't no way. Are we there already? Because I understand the excitement surrounding Cleveland, the return of OBJ off of injury, the idea that he and Jarvis Landry may be able to work a little bit better with Baker Mayfield. It's intriguing. And then not to mention what they did defensively is just and I thrilled at the idea of Cleveland. But I just, again, maybe it's the cynic in me being from Atlanta. I'm just going to be measured with my expectations. I'm not going to be one to just throw all the stops out of here just so we can get behind the Browns. Like, let's see how it all unfolds, because we have seen a little bit what Baker looks like with Odell Beckham Jr., and it ain't great. There's a lot to be worked on there. But defensively, oh, no, they're going to fly around, run, hit, and talk bleep the entire game, and that's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. The thing, and I'm with you, that I worry about with Cleveland is, all right, we've seen it kind of oscillate between these highs and lows. Baker's rookie season, the season with what they had with Freddie Kitchens and how bad that offense looked. And even last year, Baker Mayfield, the second half of the season, is really the selling point for growth. And the teams that he had success against, teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers where the wheels had already fallen off, teams like the Tennessee Titans that were playing no semblance of defense last year, and Kansas City, who also defensively challenged in their own way, and in the second half of that game when it got close, with no Patrick Mahomes. So there are reasons for skepticism there. And quite frankly, Trev, you mentioned that skepticism, that healthy, unsure feeling around a team like Cleveland that's traditionally bottomed out in key situations. This is why I feel like there's also been this tendency to hold on to Baker Mayfield tight and not want to risk too much, because, man, saying you're going to go after Aaron Rodgers is putting yourself out there in a way that, like you brought up, I don't know if Cleveland fans deep down in places they don't talk about at parties are really all that comfortable with, given what they've enjoyed right now. Success in some expectations, but not enough to go out there and risk it for the biscuit the way that they would have to get a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
So they just got out of the era of the name jersey that was a mile long. They are not trying to move on from that position specifically. And I mean, it's obviously one of the it's the toughest position in all of football to make sure you have a solid guy in. So yeah, look, Baker may not have the ceiling that you had once hoped when you got the glimpse of him that you did in the second half of his debut game, right? Like, but there's still something there to hold on to. Still something there to see if there can be maximization of some sort. So I understand kind of holding the chips close to your chest just to make sure you got something solid before you go out and chase the fancy car above all else.
And apparently for some people, it's more than just solid, because picking them means that you are not getting teams showing up like the Buffalo Bills, who are a lot of other people's darling pick to come out of the AFC. A team like the Baltimore Ravens, who some people think could be primed to get back to more 2019 form. So, Going to be very, very interested to watch what this Browns team, because now this is, I mean, the fact that we're even saying two people picked the Browns to go in the Super Bowl is already a huge measure of where we have arrived with this team expectation-wise. Now let's see if they're ready to match up with it in reality coming off of a resurgent season. But coming up next, Tom Brady's dad calling into radio station saying we expect to beat the Patriots handily when the Buccaneers travel back to Foxborough in week 4. Are you willing to book it? We'll try to next here on Chenan Golick Jr., Mike Golick Jr., and Trevor Scales hanging out on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Excited to talk to our ESPN NFL front office insider, Louis Riddick, in about 10 minutes here on the show. We got 17 games this season, and we know that's going to bring with it a whole host of changes, not only for the people making the schedule that just got rolled out the other day, but also for the way teams and personnel adjust themselves and their practices during the season to get to that finish line. Chenea Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr., Trevor Scales in for Chenea Gwimike today. Again, you can catch Trevor co-hosting Sports Nation on ESPN Plus each and every evening. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. And Trev, I'm amazed we started off this show. Like, social media tends to give voices to a lot of folks. We see players, their coaches, their family members making news sometimes. I have such a deep appreciation for Tom Brady's dad calling into a radio station today to try and go ahead and get folks riled up about this Pats-Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. Like, I don't know if he's on the NFL's dime, but as far as a schedule release, you couldn't ask for a better subplot to all of this.
This man was out here cutting wrestling promos just out for the free, for the low. Like, he had no reason to call into that radio station. He had no reason to rile up a fan base, but he said, "Nah, yeah, we gonna just issue some smoke, see if there we can get some fire going, and I'll do it for free." So, hey, good on him.
For anyone that missed it, Tom Brady Sr., father of Tom Brady, called in 98.5 the Sports Hub and talked about the Bucs matchup against the Patriots in Week 4 of this NFL season.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers. And so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
He expects to beat the Patriots rather handily. Do we? It's time to get and lean all the way into these spicy takes. It's time to play Book It, Cliff. Let's go. All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the book.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it.
I'm still saying no.
All right, for anyone new that doesn't know the drill, we're going to give you a nice spicy take here. If you like it, you agree with it, you're going to shout Book It at the end. It feels good. It makes the take feel even stronger. And we're going to do it. And if you don't, you won't. And we'll move on. Trev, you good to go? You feeling good?
Yeah, let's knock it out.
All right, Cliff, are you ready here? Let's start. Junior, why don't we start with the Tom Brady take here and get this thing cracking the right way?
All right, Junior, you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Ready to keep it a band?
I'm going to keep it a band.
All right, Tom Brady beats the Patriots by double digits in week 4. You ready to book that, Junior?
I am ready to book that.
You can book it!
I think this is going to be so deeply personal for Tom. I think Bill Belichick and company in New England are going to come with a similar level of vigor, but I think Tom just has more of the horses to run right now, running everybody back from that Super Bowl team with all of the angst that he left New England with. Trev, I think this is a double-digit win for the Pats. I'm going to book it.
Yeah, I'm going to double down on that booking it because
you can book it.
It's just a matter of the things we talked about. One, to do with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers schedule, right? It being as easy as it is. And then beyond that, from the Patriots standpoint, who knows what in Sam Hill is going to be going on from a quarterback standpoint. So there's a lot of things working against the Patriots offensively. There's a lot of continuity working for the Bucs offensively. So, yeah, double digits, easy money.
All right. Easy money. All right, Cliff, what do we got?
Trev, you ready for this?
Yeah.
First of all, let me preface this question by saying, Trev, All Ivy League, I believe, at Harvard, right?
Little something, back
in the day, right? So this goes right up your alley.
Okay.
Najee Harris will outrush Travis Etienne in week 1. You going to book that?
I am not booking that.
With all due respect, that's not good enough.
It's not. It's not because I don't believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line is going to be good enough by then. We did a bunch of draft television, Mike Golic Jr. We know that the ills of the offensive line for Pittsburgh were not resolved early on in that NFL draft. And for that reason, I'm going to sit here and say, No, I think Travis Etienne has the slot just because he's in a better situation organizationally.
He is in a better situation organizationally. He's in a better week one matchup, too. Jacksonville gets to take on the Houston Texans, which, my God in heaven, that defense is not going to be something to really have to worry about all that much. The Steelers are at Buffalo against the Bills. I'm going to book this one, though.
What
I think Travis Etienne, I think it's going to be a volume play here because the one thing we know about that backfield for Jacksonville is it's going to be a bit of a timeshare right now. You had a top five rusher in the league last year. It was James Robinson, I believe. And now you're adding Travis Etienne into a group that already has three backs in it. Urban Meyer said at the draft that he was going to be a third down back. And so I think you're going to see a lot of volume for Najee in that game. I'm going to book it on that one. Tanane Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. Trevor Scales, we're playing book it here. Cliff, what do we got next?
All right, Drew, I'm going to need you to keep it a stack on this one, all right? All five rookie quarterbacks drafted in the first round will start week one. You going to book that?
I'm going to keep it three stacks with you, Cliff.
Hey!
And I'm going to book this one.
You can book it.
The more and more I look at this, and I remember we had our ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky on a while back, and he agreed with this. And I think the interesting point he made, because I think Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are a lock at one and two to be the starters, automatic in that situation. I think Justin Fields and the circumstances in Chicago are going to get him into that lineup. I think Mac Jones is going to, at the end of the day, be able to come in and do a lot of what Josh McDaniels and company were used to with the prior regime, with the prior quarterback in place in Tom Brady. And Dan Orlovsky brought up this. Trey Lance has not played a lot of football, and specifically, we know he played at the FCS level against some great competition, but he's making a big step up and needs reps here. And I think this offense and this team are hospitable ground for a young player to come in because he's going to have so much done and accomplished for him by that Kyle Shanahan offense now that it's healthy and revitalized. So I am going to book that. All five rookies start week one, Trey.
Semicolon, however, week one is the big factor here. Mike, dog, like there's no rush to get Trey Lance in that bad boy. I understand that they are going to have an opportune situation for him. I agree with you and Dan Orlovsky that he needs the reps as soon as he can get them. But that don't mean week one, dog. That don't mean week one. So no, not booking that one.
Damn, all right, that.
Cliff, let's get one last one. And what do we got here?
All right, one last one. This is not a pun here, guys. The Browns are going to the Super Bowl. You guys going to book it?
Come on. No, come on, man. Come on, dog. We got to do that.
I didn't make the question, Trevor.
Hey, man.
I didn't make it.
Trev, I don't think we're going to book it, but I think I can spin this a bit. The fact that we even get to ask this question, and it's not totally crazy, is already one of the best things to happen to the Browns, and I don't know how long.
Would you agree? Yeah, no, I will 1,000% agree with that because we can be excited about the expectations being as high as they are for Cleveland. Revel in that, but don't get ahead of yourself in the same regard. That's all. Words of the wise.
Knicks fans, Browns fans,
right.
Shaking hands emoji.
Yes.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here. But coming up next, let's talk to one of our great ESPN NFL front office insiders about how an organization does handle a rookie quarterback coming into a season and whether or not they need to see the field week one in this day and age. We'll get to that after this word from Vivid Seats. Now, the 2021 NFL schedule is officially released, which means the NFL season is right around the corner. Live events are making a comeback, and there's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to get in on all that action. So grab your NFL tickets, cheer on your favorite team from the stands, and my God, just bask in the glow of how nice it is to finally say that right now. We get to have random high fives. I get to spill beer all over myself. I don't know if I'm allowed to say beer, but here we go. And overall, just know and get to enjoy the pulse of a crowd when someone breaks loose a kickoff return and takes that thing to the house. And even better, you can earn up to 9% cash back with Vivid Seats rewards. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Back with Lewis Riddick next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Before we get to the battle for the soul of this nation, waffles and pancakes going to work on the timeline for everyone here on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales filling in for Chinay Agumake, who's getting ready to take on the Dallas Wings tomorrow.
Oh, baby.
10:30 Eastern. The Sparks open up their season. Trev, that does kind of have me fired up, right? We've had all the schedule release talk for the NFL, but that is months away still from what we've got to get to.
Right.
She's got a game tomorrow and has somehow managed to come here and chop it up with us all week. That's amazing.
That, like, the ability to focus on myriads of things, like, is one thing that I'm certainly impressed with Janae about. Like, it's, man, the ability to kind of cut that switch on and off, to go from pro player to radio host to EP to whatever other titles you're running around here with, man. Nah, uncanny.
It is damn impressive. And speaking of people who have worn multiple hats in important situations, we're delighted to go to the Goodyear Hotline right now and welcome in Louis Riddick, our ESPN NFL analyst, part of the great Monday Night Football booth, our NFL front office insider, kind enough to give us some time. And Louis, we appreciate that. The schedule release time feels like an NFL holiday for so many fans, for so many people booking trips. But for you, in the many roles that you've been a part of, from a player in that league to a member of the front office, what was always the thing that stuck out to you that you looked at when the schedule started coming out?
Yeah, I think obviously, Mike, I think the first thing you looked at really was where do you have to go for the opener? Did you have to go on the road? If you were a cold weather team like I was for much of my career, you know, in Cleveland, did we have to go down south and play somewhere like Tampa Bay or Miami or Jacksonville where the heat was just still at summertime levels? You looked at that. You wanted to know, hey, look, when is the first time I get a chance to kind of rest and recharge, obviously, with the bye? And you wanted to kind of figure that out as well, especially if you didn't live in the city where you were playing. Like, so later in my career when I was in Oakland, I wanted to know when I could get back to Atlanta and just kind of, like, change the scenery a little bit. And then you just want to see, you know, who are your division – when do you play your division opponents, and how many of them did you have in November and December, which is when we know you really make – you know, you either you separate yourselves or you kind of like just kind of get left by the wayside as far as the race for a playoff berth. So those are really the three things that I looked at. But really, opening day, where you were going to be was the most exciting to me, because there's nothing like opening day in the NFL. Nothing.
I'm glad you brought up the division opponent aspect, because 17th week is one thing that is new to look at with regards to the schedule, but also the fact that it is going to be a divisional opponent to close out the season, mm-hmm. guaranteed by the NFL. So how do GMs, coaches, players all approach knowing that that is going to be the case?
Well, I think obviously, you know, you want to be playing your best football in November and December. All championship caliber coaches preach that. All of them demand that you try to, you know, conduct yourself during the season to kind of build to that crescendo to where you're playing your best football in November and December. Now it's a must, because you're probably going to be in a playoff battle if you are good enough to be considered a playoff type team anyway. And then lastly, I think now this year in particular, because of the extra regular season game and because of how some teams have buys in week four and then have, like, basically a full college season's worth of games that they have to play straight through, you're going to really be emphasizing and having to put a lot – rather, I should say you're going to be really putting a lot of emphasis on player management and making sure that you are not working guys too hard, keeping guys dialed in, keeping guys kind of feeling engaged about, you know, what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish, because it's going to be a grind for some teams depending upon how early or how late their buys are. So I think there's a lot of neat, interesting challenges that come along with this expanded schedule and the fact that they're backloading these schedules with divisional games, which makes it all the better for us covering the sport and for fans watching it, because that means they're going to see meaningful football from beginning to end, and that's just good for business all around.
ESPN NFL analyst and part of the Monday Night Football booth, Louis Riddick with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Louis, do you think that circumstance you talked about there gets close to something we've seen, the words, the phrase load management, like we've had in the NBA with NFL players, given what you just described?
Yeah, I think they're going to be mindful of, meaning the decision makers in with these respective teams, they're going to be mindful of players hitting the wall, so to speak, Mike, and or being exercising caution maybe more so than they have before in terms of making sure that guys aren't being put at risk of basically, you know, just kind of hitting the wall before
the end of the season arrives, making sure that guys are able to make it to those important divisional games late in the year. And if that means, hey, I'm going to have to give a guy a game off here and there that I normally wouldn't give him a game off because it's just so important because of all the emphasis that's being placed on the end of the season, then that's just what I got to do. And that's smart. You know, I get why people are triggered by the phrase load management as it relates to basketball. Hell, I'm triggered by it because, I mean, I have NBA tickets or whatever they call it, league pass. I watch all the NBA games, and there's nothing worse than turning on a game and expecting to see the superstars and they're not there. There's nothing worse than that. So I get why people are kind of wary of it, but I think they have to also understand, you know, there's a lot at stake. In football, you only have 17 cracks at this thing, and you got to make sure that in the end, you have all your horses, your most important horses, ready to roll. So if that means missing a game or two during the regular season, then you're just going to have to live with it because every fan base wants to see their team playing in the postseason.
Lewis Riddick, part of the Monday Night Football crew, joining Tanae and Golic Jr. Lewis, your Monday Night Football team guaranteed to be at Allegiant Stadium out in Vegas. And what is the most part about getting to that stadium for the home opener of the Las Vegas Raiders? And yes, the field level bar is an acceptable answer.
Yeah, man. I think, well, that's part of it. I'll tell you, I'll definitely walk over there, provided we're allowed to be down on the field pregame, which I'm just hoping because there's nothing like being able to walk the field as the players are arriving at the stadium and coming out and warming up. I think also just hearing the buzz and feeling the electricity that emanates from the stands and from the fans as the game builds to its crescendo at the start, I think there's nothing like that. There's nothing absolutely like that. And I've always been a big fan of pregame warmups and given the fact that, or rather pregame introductions, and given the fact that no fan has been allowed in this stadium to see a game at all, you understand, I mean, you got to understand how much pent up energy that these fans have, the Raider fan base in particular, has to see their football team in this beautiful new stadium. And then on Monday night, the Vegas Strip, the whole thing. I mean, there's going to be fans coming from Oakland. There'll be fans that are local to Las Vegas. And it's just the Raiders. I mean, so we know what the black and silver represents in terms of the history of the NFL and how these fans are viewed and how passionate they are. I don't think you could really pick a better spot to have Monday night kick off the season, given the fact that these people in Las Vegas and this fan base has been starved in terms of wanting to see their football team. And look, I know up in the box for us calling all those games last year, I mean, I just remember going up to Lambeau Field and you know how Lambeau is, and Green Bay is just a very, very isolated place, a very sparsely populated place. There's not a whole lot around Lambeau Field, and sitting up there in the box and looking down the field with absolutely no one there. It was almost like a high school scrimmage in a huge giant stadium. And it was weird. I mean, it was weird, man. And to not have to do that again, I think, is going to be emotional for a lot of people. And it's going to really kind of drive home the fact that, yeah, we say it's about the fans. Yeah, you know, we talk about that a lot. But I think we're going to really see just how important they are and how much that makes professional sports and professional football in particular all the more special.
And we're going to see that special matchup, Baltimore out in Vegas for Monday Night Football Week 1. Lewis Riddick and the rest of that great crew going to be on the call for that game. Lewis, we appreciate the time and the insight, man. Thank you, and we'll talk to you as soon as we get closer to the season.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, coming up next, Lewis Riddick always does a great job for us all over this network. He's one of the most dependable analysts we have, as is Dan Orlovsky. Unless you're talking about food on his timeline. Coming up next, why one man choosing violence sparked what I think can be a healthy debate for us around the breakfast table. We'll get to that next here. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A new lightweight king will be crowned at UFC 262 when rising stars Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Catch UFC 262 on Saturday, May 15th, available exclusively on ESPN+. Subscribe for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV. Chanay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales joining us. You can catch him co-hosting Sports Nation on ESPN Plus. And Trevor, I don't know if on Sports Nation you guys have ever had a host put the microphone on his gut for an entire 3-hour show, but I'm excited to give you what I expect is that first here today.
Believe you me, if we had the stick mics, your boy would have been right there with you. We got nice lounge chairs on set and whatnot, so yeah, no, that fit perfectly with your boy's mentality.
It really is a beautiful setup that you guys have over on Sports Nation, so everyone make sure you check that out there, regardless of the fact that no one's holding microphones on their stomach. And coming up in just a little bit here, I want to get into more of what Lewis Riddick, who just joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, part of our Monday Night Football crew at ESPN here, was talking about with 17 games, what you've got to do now as a team. Because remember, it's 17 games in the regular season. It's an expanded postseason. It's a longer year-round product for these NFL teams and players. And we know, we heard responses from the NFLPA brass this offseason, Trevor, saying, hey, this is going to have to trigger certain changes in the offseason program in the way that we approach the regular season. And it's difficult because you know this as well as I do. Harvard running back in the day, you need reps for certain things just to improve, especially for young players coming into this league. And so now I'm sure you're going to see, like we've already had, fights in the offseason over how much players want to be in the building. And once you get to the regular season, how much are we going to put these guys in pads and really do anything in the way of trying to build and develop versus just maintain for what's going to be a grind of a year?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Like, this is where those rookie minicamps become super essential, right? Even though you're not having the presence of veterans to get them in running with the ones, especially for those guys that were taken in the first round, it's still important just to get an understanding as much as you can, get real live reps of what the playbook says you're supposed to do. Because as you know, you can read through rules, and until you execute it in real time alongside the other 10 players on that unit, you're not going to be able to really fathom how fast the game is, just what your timing needs to be, and even further than that, how that ramps up come game time. So as we get more and more into the offseason and figure out how that's going to work out, it'll be interesting to go back to what Lewis Riddick was talking about in the triggering phrase of load management goes, what you're going to have to do as a front office and coaching staff to make sure you get the guys the quality reps versus just pure quantity above all else.
So what do we get to? Load management feels like a four-letter word for a lot of people, but right, is that on its way to the NFL? We'll get to that in about 5-10 minutes here, but I'd be remiss if I just didn't throw this out here. Dan Orlovsky, God love him, our ESPN NFL analyst, former longtime quarterback, UConn's very own. He is known for authoring some of the worst food takes on planet Earth. And I'm not saying anything that we haven't said to his face, any conversation I haven't had with him already. But Dan actually stumbled onto something I think is worthwhile this morning. He just tweeted out of nowhere, also, waffles greater than pancakes. And Trev, we brought this up at the pre-show meeting earlier today. This was a real conflict for me as a reformed fat person who's eaten a lot of both of these to have to try and pick one over the other, because I think there are things about both that are really helpful. I think pancakes on their own taste better. I think waffles can do more. But at the end of the day, Trevor, I got to side with the pancake team over here. I want to give you a chance. What is your pick in this battle before we get into the whys here?
So real quick, I also want to address the fact that, like, what was the preceding tweet for one Dan Orlovsky? Because it was did he just wake up, tweet violence to start the day and just move on?
He woke up in classic Dan Orlovsky fashion. He woke up and tweeted about Justin Fields and why he would be the week one starter for the Chicago Bears, went into all the reasons why, and then followed it up with also waffles. And just to give you an idea, like, how the internet works and how this job works, because we all sit here and think our sports takes are the things people give a flying damn about in any of this spot. Dan Orlovsky's tweet about Justin Fields and all these reasons why he would start for the Chicago Bears had 153 responses, 877 likes, and 106 retweets. Also, waffles greater than pancakes had 526 responses, 646 retweets, and over 5,000 likes. Like, it's not that hard, guys. It's pretty simple what we're all here for. We just want to argue about breakfast food and why pancakes are better than waffles, Trev. That's all we want.
I will say waffles are actually better. So I rarely agree with Dan Orlovsky on this stuff, but the pairing with fried chicken, one, the ability to switch up what you contain in said vessel for food, in cheddar cheese if you want to, make it savory, switch it up a little bit, or go the sweet route with the classic maple syrup. You can do so many things with the waffle, and oh, by the way, it doesn't even have to be battered. matter, baby. Throw some hash browns in that waffle iron. Change your life a little bit. There's a lot going on.
At Trevor Scales, at Mike Golick Jr. on Twitter. Waffles or pancakes, 888-729-3776. Everybody gets to be involved in this party right now. Team Pancakes over on this side for Mike Golick Jr. Team Waffles for Trevor Scales. Katie George, who might join us tomorrow on this show, tried to throw French toast over the top of either of those. I don't know what's going on right now. Katie might need a few days off. We'll talk about some NFL players that may as well next.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golick Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.